Welcome to Communications World, the Voice of America's weekly review of telecommunications. I'm Kim Elliott in Washington, sitting in for Gene Rich. Gene is spending some quality time at home with his new baby son, David. Today's show will focus on international broadcasting, including the bad news and possibly worse news about VOA's budget. We'll tell you about the commercial-like announcements that you may have already heard on VOA. We'll find out what the weather reports on VOA's Daybreak Africa have to do with the future of international broadcasting. And we'll hear from Radio Prague's Nora Mikes about Radio Prague's innovative uses of the Internet and other new technologies. First, the week's communications news. Reuters reported Thursday that the future of Australia's international television service, ATV, is in doubt. The service, which beams to 15 Asia-Pacific countries on the Palapa B2B satellite, has not achieved the expected success in attracting advertisers. This will make it difficult for ATV to fulfill its requirement to become self-funding. The Australian Broadcasting Corporation has agreed to provide ATV with the equivalent of $2 million to keep the service afloat. But the Australian government is expected to decide in the next few months about ATV's long-term future. More news about regional television on Palapa B2B. The NBC television network in the United States has launched CNBC Asia, a cable channel based in Hong Kong with 12 and a half hours of live business programming each day. CNBC Asia will compete with a Singapore-based Asia Business News channel. CNBC Asia programming is now only in English, but additional languages are planned. Meanwhile, here in the United States, CNBC will soon have competition from a new business channel planned by Cable News Network. The new CNN service would broadcast Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. To make room for this new service, distribution of CNN International in the United States will be reduced to evenings and weekends. We reported last week about legislation to restrict the dissemination of indecent and obscene materials through computer online services. The Communications Decency Act, approved by the U.S. Senate 84-16, was sponsored by Republican Senator James Exon. But the Speaker of the House of Representatives, Republican Newt Gingrich, has condemned the bill, and he predicts it will not be passed by the House. The House might instead encourage technology that allows parents to restrict what content children can access through computers. And now, the home news.
This is the Voice of America, Washington, D.C., signing off.
Well, we hope VOA is not signing off. Although an amendment was introduced in the House of Representatives to zero out or eliminate all funding for U.S. international broadcasting by 1997. That amendment never made it to a vote, but the House did approve an overall foreign affairs bill that would require the U.S. Information Agency, of which VOA is a part, to be absorbed into the U.S. State Department. The Senate has yet to vote on similar legislation. If the bill becomes law, VOA would retain the journalistic independence afforded by its charter. But how consolidation into the State Department affects VOA's perceived credibility is another question. VOA's budget is also being discussed in the United States Congress. To bring us up to date, I spoke to Jim Atherton, budget director of the International Broadcasting Bureau of the U.S. Information Agency.
Right now we have a House version of our bill, and we have a Senate version of the bill. The two versions will now have to go to conference, and from that will emerge the numbers that we live with for 1996 and 97.
Now, at this point, what looks to be the best case and the worst case scenarios for the Voice of America budget?
In the Senate, the numbers for 1996 would cut us by $10 million from our requested amount for 96 and an additional $10 million in 1997. Unfortunately, that's the good news. On the House side, we would be cut $48 million in 1996 and $113 million in 1997. That would really cause us some problems, Kim.
So these two really radically different figures then have to be worked out between the House and the Senate in what's called the conference.
Our budget reality will fall somewhere in between those two numbers.
So anyway, it finally gets cut. There are going to be some major reductions for the rest of America.
There could be some real problems caused by these numbers, yeah. There could be reductions in our broadcast hours and in the language services in which we broadcast.
Not the greatest news from Jim Atherton, budget director of the International Broadcasting Bureau. But we do want to keep you informed about this.
Once I built a tower up to the sun, brick and rivet and lime. Once I built a tower, now it's done. Brother, can you spare a dime?
Given the budget debate, you may not have been surprised if you heard announcements like this lately on VOA.
VOA's reports of the Women's World Cup football competition are brought to you in part by Lufthansa German Airlines, which flies to over 200 cities in 90 countries worldwide.
That sounds a lot like a commercial, but is it really? I asked Roseanne Skirbel of the International Broadcasting Bureau's development office.
Well, they're not commercials. They're underwriting messages. Basically, they're 10-second messages that talk a little bit about the company or companies who have supported VOA programming. For example, you may have, if you listened to VOA during the Summit of the Americas a few months ago, when all the Latin American presidents joined President Clinton in Miami, you may have heard Federal Express mentioned many, many times. Well, Federal Express came in as a corporate sponsor of that event, enabling VOA to cover the event, bringing 10 reporters to the event, as well as our technicians building up our studios, and they paid for all of that, the travel expenses.
Do we get money directly from these companies?
We get money from the companies, but they're directed to either buy a programming, box of programming, or they're directed to particular projects. But also we do in-kind services. For example, we just covered the Women's World Cup Championship in Sweden last weekend. Actually, we ended last weekend. It was, almost 3 weeks of coverage. And Lufthansa German Airlines came in and gave us airline tickets. So we turn that around and give them credit for helping us. And we're very appreciative because without that, because of the budget cuts we're undergoing at the Voice of America, we're having a tough time doing what we do best, which is covering world events.
Roseanne Skirbel, development officer in the International Broadcasting Bureau. If this keeps up, maybe on a future Communications World, you'll hear something like this.
Communications World is made possible by Short Electronics, makers of the new XQ37 Hyperdynamic Triple Buffered Interleaved Signal Processor. Connect the Short XQ37 between your antenna and your shortwave receiver. The signal is ionized, homogenized, pressurized, vulcanized, and lightly sautéed in olive oil. The amazing XQ37 is so advanced that it still has no practical function. Get one for your radio room today. Remember, if you have exciting electronics, you probably have a Short.
Yes, well, have you been listening to VOA's Daybreak Africa lately? We know this program has a lot of listeners even outside of Africa. The host, Al James, is now presenting weather forecasts for cities throughout Africa.
In the Daybreak Africa weather department today. For Abidjan, look for a couple of showers, warm and very humid conditions, high temperature 28 degrees. For Dar es Salaam, the weatherman says mostly sunny and warm today. Highs will reach 30. For Lusaka, sunshine with a high of 23, mostly sunny. Kigali, a passing thunderstorm, high 28. Cotonou, we'll see a passing shower, warm and humid conditions, high 26 degrees. The Daybreak Sub-Saharan hotspot is Freetown. Periods of cloud, sunshine, humid conditions. Predicted high 34 for Freetown today. For Lomé, a passing shower, very humid, high 30. In Johannesburg, sunny and cool with a high of 11.
Now, apparently this feature was not created just because Africans are interested in the weather. I asked Connie Stevens, the African Marketing Officer for the International Broadcasting Bureau, why Al is now presenting weather reports.
There's two reasons that he's doing that. The first one is because the Voice of America is now placing more and more of our programs on FM stations in African urban areas. And it's a common part of the FM format that people would like to hear the weather in their area. And we found that as we add new stations that people write in and say, well, you've got the weather report for those other cities. Why don't you have it for our city? And so we've added more of them. And then the second reason for it is that one of the features of our rebroadcasting agreements is that the stations with whom we are partners are free to go out and look for advertisers and to have commercials as a part of the programming because that helps them earn a profit and stay on the air as independent commercial broadcasters. And so this weather report is there as an optional cutaway. If they do have some publicity or they want to do local news or something like that to tailor their programming for their market, they don't have to broadcast the weather report. It starts at exactly the same time and ends at exactly the same time. But if they'd like to keep the weather report, we hope they have their city as a part of it.
Now, what is the extent of rebroadcasting of VOA English programs by radio stations in Africa?
I'd say we're at an early stage of having FM rebroadcasting found all over Africa, certainly. The stations that we have as affiliates are very strong affiliates in the sense that they use quite a lot of our programming. They like our music programming a lot. They use generally both Daybreak Africa and Africa World Tonight, which are targeted news and information programs for Africa. Those stations include Radio Sanyu in Kampala, Uganda, Radio Monrovia in Monrovia, Liberia, and KISS FM in Sierra Leone. And in English, these are our initial affiliates. And we have talked with some other stations, and we hope that network expands.
How about the placement of VOA programs in languages other than English?
We also have quite a number of affiliates in French now, and again are working on increasing that network. We have affiliates in Niamey, Niger. You can hear us on FM in Dakar, Senegal. You can also hear us in Ouagadougou, Burkina Faso. And our very first affiliate was in Bamako, Mali.
Now, you're mentioning FM. Is that really the only medium that's appropriate for placement in Africa?
Not necessarily. I think as independent broadcasting expands, that you're going to find that some of these FM broadcasters are also looking to have an AM or medium wave frequency. But it's a natural place for independent broadcasters to start because it's less expensive to broadcast on FM than it is to construct a medium wave transmitter.
And in your extensive travels in Africa, are you noticing people are listening to FM now?
Oh, absolutely. In the urban areas, I think that it seemed to have started some years ago, at the beginning of this decade. Radio France International began forming agreements largely with national radios on their FM frequencies to broadcast on FM. And that increased people's interest in listening on FM. But what really seems to turn these markets around is when they get local broadcasters, often combining broadcasts in the official languages with local languages. And I know I was really stunned last fall when I was in Dakar, Senegal, to see for the first time in West Africa that a large number of the radio sets that one found in the open markets were FM-only sets, which means that people are interested not necessarily in listening to shortwave radio, which has not been typical of that West African market, but they may be able to find a sufficient diversity of programming on the FM band in their local area that keeps them busy listening all day.
Connie Stevens is the African Marketing Officer in the International Broadcasting Bureau, VOA's parent office. VOA's future has very much to do with the broadcasting environment around the world. Gene Rich and I would therefore like to hear from you. Please tell us about the broadcasting scene where you live. For example, how many domestic radio and television stations can you receive? Do you have access to cable, to a satellite dish? Are shortwave radios still easy to find in the shops? What do you think is the role nowadays for international broadcasting to your country? We would especially appreciate it if you could make a good quality cassette tape of any local radio and television stations, especially station identifications and jingles. If we use your information on a future Communications World, we'll send you a VOA t-shirt or similar nice souvenir. Our mailing address is Communications World, Voice of America, Washington, D.C., 20547, USA. That's Communications World, Voice of America, Washington, D.C., 20547, USA. Our fax is 1 for the USA, 202 for Washington, 619-2543. That's 1-202-619-2543. And if you have internet access, the address is cw@neb.voa.gov. That's Charlie Whiskey at November Echo Bravo dot Victor Oscar Alpha dot Golf Oscar Victor. We hope to hear from you. This is Communications World on the Voice of America. I'm Kim Elliott, filling in for Gene Rich. You may be getting sick and tired of hearing about the Internet, especially since you may not own a personal computer. But consider this. It was not until 1988 that I bought my first personal computer. 7 years ago, most households in the United States did not have computers. I bought a new machine just a few weeks ago. It uses a Pentium processor, so it's fairly advanced by today's standards, but it costs less than the much cruder 286-based PC I bought in 1988. So prices have fallen dramatically for computers in the United States, and chances are they will also come down in your country. The Internet does not require a fancy computer. A first-generation XT-based computer with a monochrome screen and 2400 baud modem is quite satisfactory for electronic mail and newsgroups. Such used equipment might nowadays cost a couple of $100 here in the States, and this equipment might be finding its way into your country. Of course, you'll also need an internet provider, which would be a university or some other organization that you reach through your modem. This provider would in turn connect you to the world of the internet. Ideally, you'll be able to reach this internet provider through a local or toll-free call. And while there might not be an internet provider in your town now, with the internet phenomenon spreading so quickly, it probably won't be long. Even in China, internet access is beginning to be available. And thus, suitably equipped and connected, you'll have access to messages, news, and information from all over the world. All this might make you think that you no longer need a shortwave radio. But just try to do this with a text file.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are inviting you to take part in the International Marble Shooting Contest introduced on the airwaves by Radio Prague. In order to participate in the contest, all you have to do is to get a hold of 20 marbles, find a flat piece of surface, dig a hole in it some 4 inches wide, draw a starting line 5 meters away, and start throwing marbles at the hole. Click those marbles which you have failed to get into the hole by your fingers and count the number of clicks you used to get all the marbles in. Write down your results and send them over to Radio Prague's scrapbook together with a description of how you felt when playing this exciting game. We shall also appreciate information on how marbles are played in your country. The funniest and the most excitingly written letters will be read on the air, and that's a promise. So get your marbles together, make a hole, and start playing, because we are waiting for your results to the 5th of June.
A bit of levity from Radio Prague. I recorded this in 1987, back when Czechoslovakia, as the country was then called, was still under communist control. Politics did not prevent Radio Prague from being one of the most innovative of international radio stations, and Radio Prague continues to try new ideas by using the internet as an additional means to reach audiences worldwide. I spoke with Nora Mikes, an American of Czech descent, who is special projects coordinator for Radio Prague. I asked Nora if she was responsible for getting Radio Prague on the internet.
You can say that in a way. It was kind of, I guess I came up with the idea. It was during the summer silly season last summer, and I started noticing in the wire reports when I had news duty that there were lots of stories about the internet, and I didn't really know what the internet was. I think I'd vaguely heard about it when I was in the States, but I wasn't familiar with it. So I learned a lot more about it and convinced my boss that it was a really good idea, and I'd say he was probably more responsible after that for getting it realized.
Had you done anything with the internet before you came to Prague to work for Radio Prague?
No, actually. I didn't even really work with computers before I got here.
But it requires quite a technical knowledge to maintain the system, doesn't it?
Well, it does, and I'm not the only one here anymore. For a couple of months, I was the only one here and was probably sending out the news in what anybody that does know about computers would think is a ridiculous way, mostly manually. But now we have a full-time person working here with me named Anush Adler, who's Czech, and he's taking care of most of the technical aspects. And we're both learning as we go along.
Now, the first manifestation of your internet project was the mailing list, in which someone can just send you an internet message and they come on to your daily list of news. Has that proven to be a popular service?
It's very popular. Actually, that wasn't the first thing that we did. The first thing we did was on the 5th anniversary of the Velvet Revolution in this country. We put our entire half-hour program that day in English online in text form. And also Internet Multicasting System, which is also in Washington, put it online in audio form. And we started with the daily e-news service in January, late January of this year. And we started with 30 subscribers, and now we have about 650.
In all the languages combined?
All the languages combined. And then we also have, 100 people who are subscribed to receive our schedules every time they come out, schedules for frequencies. And we have a few other lists. We have a program guide list and an announcement when we announce new things that are happening and a couple other lists. We always try to write the news in such a way that we keep the spirit of radio broadcasting in the story. So we have, for instance, welcome to the program and on announcing and off announcing the news and stuff. And so we've had quite a lot of people who are perhaps subscribed for a month or two, and then they say, it occurs to me I could listen to you. Could you send me a schedule? And so it's been a very symbiotic kind of relationship.
That's very interesting. It's text written for radio rather than text written for text.
Mm-hmm. Well, we don't want people to forget that we are primarily a radio station.
The Czech service of the Voice of America is one of the eager recipients of the news via internet from Radio Prague. In fact, it's their quickest source of news about the Czech Republic. But the Radio Prague internet mailing list contains more than hard information. Each news script concludes with a report on the weather in the Czech Republic. And the news is preceded by an often humorous message of the day. A recent message was the recipe for Czech dumplings. I asked Nora if she writes these.
But it's not out of keeping with the way Radio Prague works and has worked over the years. We're known, and we've been called in Passport to World Bands on the friendly station, and we've gotten a lot of really positive responses for the message of the day, especially for the Czech dumplings that you mentioned. It kind of fits the station personality.
Czech dumplings fits the station personality?
No, the message of the day being something maybe a little sillier.
Okay. I seem to remember when I traveled to Czechoslovakia, as it was then, and Hungary, being haunted by dumplings. Every restaurant I went to had dumplings on the menu.
Well, sure. It's a Czech specialty.
And they really stay with you, don't they, for a long time?
They do. They do.
But I have to admit, I miss them a little bit now. Now, I heard that you are going to be starting a gopher. Can you explain a little bit what a gopher is and what's going to be on your gopher?
Okay, well, the gopher actually is up experimentally, and people can go see it at gopher.radio.cz. And gopher is, in a way, it's one way of making a database publicly available on the Internet. And what we have is, on our gopher, is we have archives of all of our daily e-newses from late January, and that's searchable, so people can go in and, for instance, look up President Havel and follow a story back. And we also have a brief history of the Czech Republic from prehistory to today, and we also have the first Czech book on the Internet. We made a deal with a publisher here, and they put their book available on our server. It's called the A to Z Culture Guide, and it has all sorts of very brief and useful descriptions of things that have to do with Prague and culture, and more.
And more.
And more.
Getting into a little more advanced applications of the Internet, do you have any plans for a World Wide Web?
We do, and actually all of the files that are on our Gopher server are written with the World Wide Web and hypertext in mind. We decided to start with Gopher because the World Wide Web is more graphical and with sounds and video, and it's more of a fancy application, but not as many people have it access to it as do to Gopher or FTP. So we started with something that's a little more common, which is the Gopher server, but we do plan to move up to the www.
Besides the internet, Radio Prague is using other new media to reach its listeners. Nora Mike says these include satellite delivery via the World Radio Network, distribution to cable systems in the United States via the C-SPAN audio network, and rebroadcasting on local stations, including a medium wave station here in Washington. If you have access to the internet and would like to receive information about the various mailing lists and services offered by Radio Prague, send a message to cr@radio.cz. That's cr@radio.cz. And write help at the subject prompt. Special thanks to Tilly Vorp, who directed and helped me get through my first effort as guest host. The studio engineers were Mick Shaw, Bert Vecidi, and Jerry Goodwin. Jonathan Kern edited the program. I will be here again next week, but you will be comforted to know that Gene Rich returns to Communications World on July 8th. Now, as Gene always says, until next Saturday, keep your mind on and your radio open. Wait a minute. That's not right. Why would you want to keep your radio open? Maybe it's easier to repair that way. But that still doesn't sound right to me. Maybe I'll have to call.
We now resume regular VOA programming.
Greenwich Mean Time, here is the news on the Voice of America. I'm Victor Beatty in Washington.